Welcome to the Library of Dharma Talks from Boundless Refuge. To learn more, visit boundlessness.org. May you be well, safe, happy, and peaceful.
Good early evening. For some reason, I'm thinking now about, right now, as I enter this room, I'm thinking about my teacher, Reb, this last time I was visiting, and I just noticed giving his beautiful Dharma talk and the way he does, but in his little sangha and his little group there in Mill Valley, it seems like he doesn't really censor out a lot of his thoughts at this point. I'm sure he censors out some, but he didn't seem like kind of in, you know, inward. He was just kind of like looking around and looking at people, and so I think about that when I come in here, and it feels kind of terrifying just to say good evening. Sometimes. And I bring that up, I guess, because, you know, I think that's the fruit of practicing and realizing for a long, long time, in his case, 50 or 60 years, finding this deep stillness within. And discovering, perhaps, how it is in intimate communion with these things that don't look peaceful that we see, like our desires and our problems, which I don't need to enumerate since you've all been watching them and having them move through you intimately. And then living with that paradox, living in that paradox of freedom and restriction. Finding more and more, perhaps, that I can express myself through the midst of this human body and mind, normal human body and mind. I can express myself by myself. I mean, I can express my practice, I can express silence and stillness right here from this human body and mind, maybe with your bodies and minds, in this room, with this weather and these clothes. And these moods and these words. And maybe it always feels a little bit risky or a little bit precarious or like, you know, like a risk. But in one Zen koan, they say, you have to say something. Which doesn't mean we always have to be chattering. It just means, can you speak your true self, your freedom, right here in the midst of this limited self, in this limited world, or this relative world, which are abstract ideas, but actually talking about something happening, an opportunity, a challenge opportunity happening that we each get all the time. So we have these mindfulness practices that we've been doing, these wisdom practices, to help let go of the appearances and things that are coming through, that we have developed this even mind, or this even balanced presence, to find stillness, true stillness. And I think some of you, from what you've been saying anyway, have been touching that in various ways and then receiving that in some way that feels nourishing and good, at least to some extent. And then curious, like a question sometimes arises, like, well, but what about this person? Like the one who wants cake, or the one who, you know, has preferences and reactions, because that one still seems to be here, weirdly. Weirdly. Is that okay? Is that okay? This middle way that the Buddha pointed to. Appears in relationship to that, appears in relationship to this. And we're locating that balance point for ourselves. And I have some quotes about this to back it up. Because we doubt this true dragon. that's kind of our, I wouldn't say even it's our problem, it's our predicament. Our mind, our thinking mind, our feelings doubt this true dragon. To use some Zen language, Dogen says, don't be suspicious of the true dragon. Honored followers of the Buddha way, long accustomed to groping for the elephant, groping for the truth. Don't be suspicious of the true dragon. And what is this true dragon? I won't tell you because, you know, in the Tao they say, the Tao that can be spoken is not the Tao. The true dragon can't be spoken, or it can. We can speak it, but it's not the words. We can think it, but it's not the thoughts. But it happens right here in the midst of talking. It happens right here in the midst of this meeting. Believe it or not, and it's not a matter of believing it. What's it a matter of? We practice letting go of appearances, finding this balance point with the appearances that are arising, and that's how we meet it. Stopping grasping appearances, that's how we meet it. Right in the midst of the appearance, like wanting cake, and maybe really wanting cake, and maybe enjoying the cake. Or maybe denying yourself the cake, or whatever you do. there you are. We already talked about the Tao. He's a different thing from the Tao. So here's a beautiful story from my first teacher, Gil's book of stories about the magical monastery. That he imagined with this wonderful abbess, and this is called On Seeking. Once, teaching the practitioners, The abbess told this story. Okay, so it's story time. Relax. You know, when you like enjoy a story by the fire, no pressure. So much pressure on a retreat. I was talking with my teacher, Greg, about this, and I said, maybe we should do a 3-month practice period where it's like a more balanced thing and people aren't sitting all the time. I love the sitting all the time, but we get into a setting like this and like it's all really intense and you get the message, relax. Makes it hard for some people to relax. So no pressure. Enjoy this story. Just enjoy it, you know. There was a species of humans born in the ocean, said the abbess. Okay. They were born being able to swim, and all their life they swam. After many years of constantly swimming, one man started to get tired. He heard that if he swam far enough to the east, he would find a resting place that was free of the ocean. So maybe some, there's more of this story, but maybe some of you are like born into the ocean of life, and at some point you felt tired, deeply tired, and you heard some Buddhist teachings that said, there's a place. There's a place free from the ocean. So after swimming east for many years and not finding the resting place, someone told him of a rumor of such a place in the south. So after swimming for some time and in Theravadan teachings, then he switched to Mahayana. So he swam south for more years, but never found it. Similarly, he swam to the north and then to the west, but nowhere could he find the mythic place. Bone weary from his endless swimming, he came across a woman who laughed at his quest. The rest you seek is not found anywhere else than where you are. And all you have to do is turn over on your back and float. So then the abbess says, monks and nuns, desires are endless. That's the ocean we're swimming in. Desires are endless. You won't get to the end of desire by desiring. What you seek is not found through seeking. When you can let go fully and simply float, it is right here. So we're learning to turn over on our backs and float right here. Not seek. Right here. In the midst of this ocean. The seeking is it. Is some kind of delusion energy. And delusion-fueled energy. Greed, hate, and aversion-fueled energy. And so we can come to the end of this. And But we find it again. We don't find it on some mythic island. We find it in a wonderfully open, still, radiant relationship with now. And it's quite natural too, you know, we hear it, sometimes I hear it and I think, okay, find it. You know, I'm going to go on a retreat and find it. I'm going to dedicate my life to Dharma and find it. Or I'm just going to sit here and like try to find it. This is kind of part of how we are too. That's okay. But what is it that's, what, you know, we can actually float with all of that. Very natural way, this weird, bumpy, confusing existence. We can learn to align with this weird, bumpy, confusing existence. Someone told me a few days ago, I'm afraid of, basically, I'm paraphrasing, I'm afraid if I do that, I'll look silly. Which was sweet. And we may. Andres, who's been attending to me, should I tell him? You don't know. Today he said, attending to you is like attending to a big baby. Your leader is a big baby. I don't recommend following me. But I do recommend, you know, following your way, following your water course way, they call it, following the way of this moment. And maybe you're a very refined person, and that's great. Then that's who you get to be. Or maybe you're, you know, whatever you are. Follow what's here, this awareness that's like flowing. It's like ready to meet the true dragon. And that true dragon might look like a big baby. Or that true dragon might look like you, or you, or you, or you. Or you, the camera. Or you, the carpet. Or any of the moment. Or me, this, you know, or the desiring one, the one who understands, the one who doesn't understand, all these selves we meet. I understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. I understand. Those ones too. We meet each of those big babies. So great teacher Ramana Maharshi said, there are no impediments to meditation. The very thought of such... Oh, photocopy ran out. The very thought of... faded page. Is the greatest impediment. I think it says the very thought of such impediments is the greatest. The very thought of something. Did you miss it? That mind. So what is it, you know, that understands before we... I have that mind too. It's like, oh, what is the truth? This happens to me most of the times when I'm studying. I study very badly, and we work ourselves, Andres and I, into a lather of confusion. What's the truth? And unfortunately, we have stacks of books from different traditions. It just gets worse and worse the more we the more we study. We should limit study time. We should cut it out. Maybe. So is this clear? Yeah, I mean, is this clear? Well, let's give it two more days. You have to be really tender and innocent, kind of like a baby. Quiet. There's someone in you that's so quiet in the midst of all this noise. And tender and like water, you know, can flow all the way down to the bottom. Flow with the way things are. And it's just dancing with this, with the way things are. And our task is to meet it. The practice is to meet that true dragon. And where is it now? This, here.
If you found this talk helpful, visit boundlessness.org to explore our offerings and click Give to make a donation. We depend on the generosity of people like you.